Wow. How you doing, brains? I'm so glad to see you today. Made me happy. It's right outside. I know. We're waiting on our guests. Got a great guest today. We're going to talk about for the love of money. Oh, yeah. Because people go crazy over money. Joyce Mills Blue. And there she is. Hello, baby cakes. We had a little technical difficulty, but I'm here with you right now. I was just telling the brains that you was coming and that you was here to visit us. Let's get this more appropriate. How's that? How you doing? Now, I see that you're muted.
Yeah, I'm unmuted now.
You unmuted now? All right.
Yeah. You want to talk?
You want to talk a few minutes or you just want to get right into it? You ready?
Whatever works for you. I'm just glad we finally got connected.
I know, you know, well, technology, but you just have to learn to be patient and not be defeated by a machine.
That's right.
Hello, brains.
I have my wrap up on the window.
Oh, look at that. That is beautiful. I'm so glad that you like it.
I do. I love it. And I pulled it out and I was like, oh my gosh, this is perfect that I can put it over because this window's like really glary, but I haven't been able to reorganize my computer yet in this room.
Don't worry about it. We're about to reorganize our brains, though, with this money. Brains, I want you to meet our guest today. Right there, Joyce Mills Blue. I like that name, too. She has a very, very interesting background. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk about money, our feelings around money, our responsibility to money, how it takes so much control, how to make more money, all of that kind of stuff. Because that's what she does for a living, okay? And we want to be prepared because, as I told you, and I'm warning you, now, I am no financial expert, but I got good common sense. And next year, it's going to be a little rough. It's going to be a little different for everybody because, again, we don't know what's going to happen with our current political climate. And that is really the foundation of our economic climate because other countries are holding our note. And if you don't know that, you better look it up. You know, see, the money was actually designed by the Chinese as a form of receipt in ancient times. I read a book about it, and it was very interesting. You know, they couldn't bring the cattle necessarily, so they say, well, I'm going to give you this promissory note in exchange for goods and services. It's the same thing, brains. But what happened over time, it started to evolve, and we were supported by gold. We were supported by silver. Now we're supported by a printing press and some old dead white men. And it ain't a cute look. There's other things that are going to be coming up in the future, like cryptocurrency. You know, do you know what that is? The currency has to change. They used to use beans and feathers, right, Joyce?
Yeah. So all sorts of different things.
All sorts of different things. So tell us a little bit about you, your expertise, and then we're going to really start talking about this money.
All right. Well, my dad was an entrepreneur, and so when I was born, he, from a very young age, he taught me about money and how to be empowered with money, and so when I was about 20, well, when I was 20, mm-hmm. I had $6,700 in the bank, and I fell in love with this cook that I worked with, and we got married, and because I came from a financially empowered household, I didn't know all the right questions to ask, like, why don't you have your own bank account, and you know, how do you function with money, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So I stuck him on my account. Within 6 months, all the money was gone. He was very physically abusive. We were in debt, and followed him out onto the driveway one day, trying to figure out, you know, where the money for the next bills was going to come from, because that was back in the day before direct deposit. You had to actually come home with your check to take it to the bank. And so anyway, I knew he didn't have time to hurt me because he was on his way to work. And so I followed him out, you know, trying to get as much information as I could. And he turned around and got right up in my face. And he said, you will never leave me. You need me too much. And he got in the car and he drove away. And I stood there and I started to cry. And then I went in the house and I threw myself on the floor and started to cry some more. And then listened to that little voice that was still, that little spark that was still inside me.
Daddy, that was daddy, girl.
Yeah. And it was like, hey, you've not deserved any of this. And by the way, he just told you you would never leave because you needed him. You created what you had before you met him without him. And I was a pretty fearless kid. I grew up with three older brothers and the type of person, if you told me I could not do something, that was the exact thing I was going to go and do. Yeah. So I grabbed my keys, went to my parents' house, got my dad's Pinto station wagon.
I had a Pinto once upon a time.
And proceeded to move everything out that night and started all over again. And within a short period of time, I was out of debt. And then my friends were like, and I was just making extra payments on my car. And they were like, how did you do that? Teach me how to do what you did. So I just started teaching people how to do what I did. And about 6 years ago, I found neuroscience. And it was a huge light bulb moment as to why some of the people that I worked with could get out and stay out. And other people were right back in again within a really short period of time. So I took what I call the XYZ of how to get out of debt and the neuroscience piece and kind of married the two. And now I work mostly with limiting beliefs about money and clearing out all the stuff that's in your subconscious so that you can get to where you want to go financially.
So you are a freaking rock star, lady. Okay. And I'm proud of you.
Thank you. First thing,
you know, let me incorporate some of this. When it comes to divorce and separation, that's really one of the biggest drawbacks is the money.
Yeah.
The control is the money because the love has faded.
Right.
So when you don't have your own money, you got problems. I've been married to Mr. Magnificent for 35 years. Baby, you best believe I got a nest egg and I'm not afraid to tell him. He don't know how much is in there. Ain't nothing business. He can have a nest egg too. But in the event that something happens, I got to pay a mortgage. I got to pay a car note. I need medical insurance. And so many people, especially women, yes, I'm calling you out. He's working gas and electric. The women would call, oh, our lights are about to be turned off. They don't know how much is in the account. They don't have a copy of the check. Yeah. You know, when you are in a relationship, it is a partnership. Okay?
Exactly.
Then there's some relationships that they split everything down the middle. Half the rent, half the, you know, whatever works for you. But have your own money. God blesses the child that's got his own. Okay. So now that you've walked this walk and you found this neuroscience, what do you mean when you say you found neuroscience? Step us into that. What are we doing?
So perfect. Great place to start. So neuroscience, it used to be that we were told that whatever mental capacity that we had by the time that we were seven or whatever was wired into our subconscious, that we were stuck with that. And that we couldn't really change the core of who we are and how we thought about things. And we know now with modern brain science and technology that that is not true. We can rewire our neural pathways and we can use neuroplasticity to do that. And it takes a little while, but it does work. And you can change who you are at a core level and how you think. Now, most people, you know, money is not their friend. And it's not really their fault because they were taught whatever their parents knew. And if their parents didn't have a great relationship with money, then they're not going to have one either. And they're not going to have good financial literacy to make smart money decisions.
Right. Well, you know, there's a couple things that I did. Firstly, is that I looked at who handled the money in our household growing up. My mother made money seem like it grew on trees. I mean, you know, we wouldn't buy one pair of shoes, we'd buy three. My father, he could stick his hand in his pocket and feel whose face was on his bills. Okay, he was that tight. So, you know, it just depends. Dad could have some money to go skating. Well, you know, it's tough. But my father never had enough. He really, really struggled. So everything that he had, you know, his self-worth, his self-esteem, his values, all of that was tied around the money. where mama was, you know what, let's look good, let's have a good time. She didn't grow up with a lot of means either, but she was very smart. She knew how to make a dollar out of 15 cents. When I was in financial trouble, you know what I did, Joyce? I wrote myself a love letter to my money.
There you go.
And I poured my heart out as to what it made me do, how it made me feel. And then for some strange reason, I had to write a response. Money wrote me back. And when money wrote me back, it put me in my place. Why are you giving me so much control? Why are you giving me so much power? I'm nothing but an inanimate object. I'm just no more than these pieces of paper here, this cardboard here. Right. Why do you place so much value on me? So again, this is so important. What she's saying, Brains, is that you got to tap into your brain. And you also need to know how to let money work for you instead of you continuously working for the money.
That's right.
Learn how to invest. Okay. Learn how simple interest works. Learn about credit card debt. We're going to talk about that too, because people are, it's holiday time and folks is about to whip out that credit card. You know, yep. You don't have no $1,000 for that big screen TV. You better go on and watch that, the smaller one, until you get your finances together. Where do you start with people? Because again, it's those limiting beliefs around money.
Yeah.
How do you attack that with your clients?
Well, we start with a really honest conversation about how they grew up. And like you said, who really kind of controlled how each parent worked with that and their thoughts about what money is. Now, my free gift, which we chatted about, is deals totally with that. And we'll talk about that later. Mm-hmm. But it's where you need to start, because if you look at lottery winners, for example, if you have a bad relationship with money, and I love that you wrote that letter to your money, because money is a relationship in our lives, and women especially don't relate to money like men do. So we have to look at it as a relationship, like the dog or the cat or the spouse or the kids or the significant other or who, your friends even. If you are negative and nasty to those people all the time, would they want to be around you? No. And money is exactly the same way. If you kicked the dog every time you walked in the house, the dog would be running away from you. It would not have anything to do with you. But look, like I was mentioning with the lottery winners, they, over 70% of them are debt or bankrupt within 3 to 5 years.
Yep.
And so it's not the lack of money that is causing the issues with their, in their life, with their finances. It's all that stuff in the subconscious that's laying in there that we don't see and we don't really know how to get to, that's running the show.
So how do we reframe a release?
Well, with the guide especially, it's, you have to, you read through the different things that I took 23 limiting beliefs about money and reframed them in each one in two different ways.
Oh, wow.
And so, because, you know, we all resonate with different things. So as you go through, and like, I'm too young or I'm too old is a limiting belief that's not necessarily going to disempower you financially, but it is a limiting belief. Once we become aware of what those limiting beliefs are, and by reading through the things on that I've, you know, framed on the guide, you can go, well, that's not it, but it will make you think of what, you'll have a thought that, oh, this is the limiting belief, or this is the belief that I have. And so that you can write it down and work with those. And just as you, awareness is our first step to changing anything.
Right.
Acceptance is the second step. Right. So have you ever made somebody aware of something and they got mad at you because you pointed something out to them? It's because they weren't ready to accept what it was that you just told them.
Right.
So then as we become aware and then we accept, then we can take action to change. So it's really a three-step process.
Well, and don't be afraid, okay?
Yeah.
When the bills come in the mail, open them up.
That's right.
Once you are able to face it, then you're able to tackle it. Okay.
That's right.
Only thing you probably can't tackle is IRS and school debts. They will.
Well, you can tackle it, but you might need some help.
Exactly. But you know what? pay your taxes, brains, okay? You could be, again, that millionaire, that person that wins the lottery. And with one swift click, you're broke. And they'll take everything. So take care of your responsibilities. Take care of your family and teach your kids financial literacy, how to make money work for you, right, to invest. Again, like I said, about interest and all those type of things. They don't teach that. That, you right, know,
no, they don't.
Checkbook.
You know, and it's funny because they teach sex education, the one thing that we could all probably figure out on our own. They teach it in elementary schools, right? But very few, there's just a handful of high schools in the United States that mm-hmm. teach any kind of financial literacy, and most of that is outdated.
It is outdated. So, you know, you've done all these great things, and you're working, what, primarily with women or women and men? Are you?
I do work with women and men. Women tend to be a little more coachable than men, though, so I do have some amazing male clients. But I won't work with everybody. Just, you know, we're not everybody's a fit for everybody. So,
you know, and also too, women have a hard time making a decision when it comes to money. Oh, I don't know. And let me do this and let me do that. Let me think about it. They're mulling over it. Where men will go on the golf course and make a $5 million deal within 2 or 3 hours.
That's absolutely true.
What is that? Is that just because of our nature as women? We're a little bit more cautious. We're a little bit more nurturing. Do you think that that has something to do a little bit with gender?
It does. And mostly, like I mentioned in the beginning, because women don't relate to money the way men do, right? Money is very linear. So if you can reassess or rethink or relearn the way that you deal with finances, then you'll be able to make those smart financial decisions the same as a man does.
Let's talk a little bit about love. Now, you are a woman that you share with me that you've been married, you know, more than once. And so what have you learned about yourself and your relationship with money and reinventing yourself after the ending of one relationship and the beginning of another?
Yeah, that's a great question because so many women are, you know, in that situation. And the thing that you need to remember is that your worth is you, who you are as a core person, and has nothing to do with the things in your exterior world. So many women are, you know, devastated by a divorce or the loss of a job, or when their kids don't make great decisions, thinking that somehow that that's directly connected to them. And though you need to own your own part in each relationship that you have, your worth as a person is just is. Because you are here on the planet, you have worth. And your financial situation or your marital status or the fact if you've had kids or not had kids has really nothing to do with anything. Because as we can learn that and own that, then when other things in our lives don't go as we have planned, then we can still own who we are and rock that. Because we understand that the things that go wrong in our lives are a learning experience for us, and they help us to learn and grow and blossom and be able to then tackle that next thing that's going to come our way.
And I always tell people, the things that hurt you the most are really your best teachers.
Yeah, that absolutely.
That sets up your boundaries and your parameters.
Yeah.
Let's talk to the real rich woman. Okay.
Okay.
I had one sweetie pie on my show. She was catfished out of $400,000 within 3 months. Mm-hmm. Okay. So money was not an object to her.
Right.
But when you have that kind of money and you're not used to it, people don't plan for the long haul. Mm-hmm. They want the quick fix. Give us some tips on planning for the long haul with our money.
Yeah. And that's super important. You really need to be future visioned. If you live in the immediate all the time, then you're not going to really have anything other than the immediate going on for you. I tell people, it's like, you need to not be afraid to make decisions. But once the worst decision that you could do is no decision, because we know the banks aren't our friends right now, right? At barely 1% interest. It's not like back in the day when you could get a CD that was earning, you know, 7-8%. That's unheard of and has been for quite an extended period of time now. So, but when you make that decision financially, whatever it is, whether it's to invest in a stock or do a real estate deal or whatever, you need to be very mindful of what it is that you've done and get education on what you're doing before you go and do it, because there are a lot of people out there that will be more than happy to take your money if you're willing to give it to them, and they do not have your best intentions in mind.
And I tell people all the time in business, you don't sign my checks. I sign my checks.
Right.
Oprah did that too. I remember Ray Charles. I have a great story too. I was at a concert one time. I'm not going to name the artist. Artist wouldn't go out on stage. And I was like, the concert's about to start. He goes, yeah, because the promoter's not here with my money. People are serious about money. Okay. Yeah. They will hurt you. They will kill you for $5. Okay. So you really need to be the overseer of your money. Mm-hmm. Finances may not be your forte, but get your bank statement and go and have a consultation with somebody else and make sure that you're not being taken advantage of.
That's right. Because
people will run amok on you. And then you turn around and looking stupid. I didn't know. Well, you know, you can't tell the IRS that you didn't know. You know,
exactly.
Ignorance is not against the law. They don't care nothing about that. You know, go over your financial statements. I know I had an accountant. I picked up one, a CPA I hadn't used before. And when I went over his numbers, I was shocked. I was like, really? This is what's going to happen? I was like, no, this can't happen. And I looked at it, and he had messed up something. So you don't just sign. When it comes to tax time, you don't just sign on the dotted line. Learn and go line by line and see if that makes sense to you. You know, if you made $80,000 and you only paid $2,000, there's some more you're going to have to pay.
That's right. So,
now, when you have your online course, is this a group? Or do you work one-on-one? How do you facilitate your coaching program?
I work one-on-one with people. I have in the past like started one-on-one and then put people into a group. So it just kind of depends on the dynamic of the person that I'm working with and what's going on in my business at the time. And you know, money is a very personal thing.
It is.
So people will open up more when they're in a one-on-one situation.
Really? I've been in some groups. I've been in some groups and some masterminds, and people have been, I mean, you know, they're not going to tell you exactly what your balance is, but they've been very open and they've been able to share their experiences. And people don't realize that if you have bad credit too, that you could be underemployed or you could not be employed at all because people don't trust you. I mean, how are they going to let you be a bank manager and you owe $50,000?
Exactly. And in today's day and age, they'll pull your credit report for just about anything. I mean, insurance companies pull it. Utilities companies pull it. It's not just when you go to make those big purchases anymore. Like it used to be just if you went to go, you know, get a car or, you know, purchase a home. Those aren't the only people that are pulling credit scores nowadays. And right. People don't realize that. The apartment complexes, like I said, the insurance companies, the utility companies, they're all pulling credit reports these days. So it really,
and when you're doing things on social media, they're capturing your information and they're selling it to God knows who. You know, we just went through that.
Yeah.
So you want to be careful about that. You know, in this day of identity theft, there's only so much caution you can have, but get your credit report and make sure that you're on top of that. Look at your bank statement. watch the overdrafts and the fees. I mean, I think it's ridiculous. Yeah. My daughter got a $35 overdraft charge for a $2 over on a cup of coffee.
Yeah. You know, and that's the other thing is that people with our plastic money, which is a term that drives me insane, they're not watching what's going through their account. And so a lot of times they don't catch the little fraudulent things that are happening until, like your daughter, they go spend $2 and wind up with a $35 overdraft charge because somebody else has been draining their account in little increments. I worked with somebody recently who somebody else was taking out through iTunes, $2 here, 99 cents, $1.99. So they didn't catch it until way later when they had over $250 worth of, you know, $1.50 and $2.99 charges.
And, you know, looking at your statements, that's your money, brains. Yep. You know, I had a situation with the gym. The gym was double charging me. And I was like, wow, this is, but if I hadn't looked at it, and yeah, you know, it was a learning for me. It would have been 6 months.
Right.
You know, and they're not going to give you interest back on that money. You've given your credit card to someone and they have this automatic replenishment for cosmetics or whatever it is. And you're not even using that product anymore. Those little things can add up to be a couple thousand dollars at the end of the year.
Yeah, absolutely.
That could be a great vacation.
Right? Yeah.
So tell us about the compilation of the book that you're in. I know that you were in an anthology. And what's going on in the book that you're writing in your head?
So, I've been in a couple of collaboration books, and those have been a lot of fun. They are, one is What We Love, and I wrote about gratitude in that. And the other one was Everyday Joy, which I also wrote about gratitude in that as well. Gratitude's a really big thing with me because having a gratitude practice is extremely powerful.
Yes.
The latest one that I was in was called Make It a Great Day, The Choice is Yours. And it's actually a collaboration book that we did for youth on how to make every day a great day. You know, teen suicide is such a huge epidemic right now, and it's so sad. And so this was really targeted towards that. And for every book that's sold, two books are donated to either a school or a Boys and Girls Club or some type of youth facility. So
do you have the book there with you?
I do not.
Okay. No. Well, send me a copy of it, a photocopy of the link, and I'm going to put it up there, all your books that you're in, because you are a wealth of information. You know, you got my brain spinning, and I know how to handle money, I think, anyway.
One that's still on my computer is not titled, but it, again, marries the neuroscience with the money piece, because there are a lot of books out there. Most of them are super thick. Nobody wants to read them, you know, on finances. And that's not what's really going to empower people to get out of wherever they are and get to where they want to be. So,
well, I think that is extremely powerful. Who pours into you, Joyce? I mean, you know, who do you follow? Who are some of your mentors?
I was going to say, I pour into me, right? Because we're responsible for keeping our own cup full.
Oh, girl, tell the truth.
Yeah. So John Asraf, I think, is fabulous. And that's who I started studying neuroscience under. People can connect with him online on Facebook. He gives out a lot of free content. And I really, really appreciate John. I'm also a huge Tony Robbins fan.
Oh, yeah. Tony Robbins. He's cool people. I walked on fire with him one time, girl.
Yeah. Ooh, I am just, wow.
Yeah.
That's
and,
awesome.
You know, he's a man that has had great wealth and some challenges. He doesn't have a degree, but he's very smart. He's got common sense. And sometimes, you know, common sense wisdom could be better than a PhD.
Absolutely. Just look at Oprah. I mean, one of the richest women in the world are J.K. Rowling. And you know, Oprah didn't have a degree. She got fired from her network job because they told her she wasn't cut out for television.
Right, right, right. So don't let people just tell you anything. You know who you are. Look in the mirror, have a conversation, write a letter to your money. Tell them, hey, you know, this is what I need you to do for me. Okay, and see how it responds. Thank you so much for being on the show with us today, Joyce Blue. I love that, Joyce. That was your, is that your middle name or maiden name?
It's my married name.
Oh, I love it. Joyce Mills Blue.
Yeah.
So, Precious, please tell my brains how they can get in contact with you if they want to work with you individually. I want to bring you back next year and do a podcast potluck. And what we do is we bring all of our subject matter experts together and have a group conversation about money. I want people to hear us be honest about how we feel in a group setting. Would you be willing to do that?
That would be awesome. I would absolutely be willing to do that.
I'd love to have you as a facilitator. So again, tell my brains how to get in contact with you. I want them to touch you.
All right. Well, they can email me at joyce@empoweringulec.com. You can also connect with me on Facebook and Instagram at empoweringulec.com. And to get the free gift that I was talking about earlier on how to reframe and release limiting beliefs about money, they can find that at www.moremoneymethod.com.
moremoneymethod.com. Okay, you gotta have a method to your madness brains when it comes to your money. Okay, we gonna be all right. Trust me. But just don't be so uptight. Don't get ugly. You're gonna get plenty of money, but you're not gonna get no more time. Okay,
that's right.
So you want to honor the time and you want to honor yourself. Thank you so much, Joyce, for being here on The Edge with me and my brains. I honor and I love you, your wisdom, your dedication, and your strength. Okay.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Absolutely. Brains, make it an amazing day. Do something nice for somebody else. Bye.
Bye.